This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Dr. Kirk Solberg. Who is Kirk Solberg? Let me give you a few fun facts about Kirk. Kirk attended St. Olaf College in Northfield, Minnesota, where he majored in chemistry and Norwegian language, and spent a semester in Norway. Kirk graduated from the University of Florida College of Dentistry. He married his high school sweetheart, Michelle, and has two incredible children, Samantha, a college freshman, and Eric, a high school freshman. Kirk has hosted many exchange students for a full year. Kirk is currently hosting two young men from China as members of his family who will be staying for their 4 years of high school. He enjoys helping his son's Boy Scout troop as their chaplain, mentoring men, and leading spiritual boot camp for men. Kirk, welcome to the studio. It's great to have you here today.
Good to be here, Sam. Thank you.
All right. Terrific. Well, you know, before we really get started with the business, I want to know something about Norway and your background.
Mm-hmm.
And you even have a special Norwegian author that you read.
Correct.
And tell us a little bit about that and spending a semester over there.
Our Norwegian heritage is a very important part of the Solberg family. My father, Hank Solberg, was the second to the youngest child of 11 brothers and sisters. Hmm. His dad came over in the early 1900s. His mom was actually born here, but they also came over from the same area of Norway, Heddal in Telemark in the central region of Norway. So I have lots of aunts and uncles. We have big Solberg family reunions every summer. Got one coming up this year.
Oh, good.
I usually have about 100 Solbergs hanging out in Iola, Wisconsin, which is where Grandpa Solberg settled. So that Norwegian heritage is very important to me and my family. St. Olaf College was a school started by Norwegian Lutheran immigrants. A lot of aunts and uncles that went there and cousins. My dad actually went there for a year but couldn't complete his college there. So it was always my first choice for college.
Okay.
And when I got in, I was happy.
So you're Norwegian through and through.
Akkurat. That's correct.
That's correct. Okay. We are interested in your leadership. You're a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And have been a dentist for some time. And we're interested in actually our first dentist on a podcast.
All right.
So listeners tune into this podcast series to find out about how other people are leading, wise leaders, successful leaders, and what things they can draw from that to help them in the jobs that they have. So tell us a little bit about your dental practice, Smile Artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The practice was originally founded in 1969 by Dr. Mark Williams. I joined him as an associate in 1992 upon graduating from dental school. Probably one of the best decisions that I ever made because Dr. Williams has just been an incredible leader for me. He's been a great mentor and a great friend. I think without him, if I'd have just started my own practice, I would have recreated the wheel or had to make a lot of mistakes and learn from my own mistakes. But to find him as a mentor and learn from him was probably one of the best things that I did.
Okay. So in your information that you afforded me, as we do a little bit of preparation for the podcast, there are three dentists in this office,
mm-hmm.
and you have two patient coordinators,
mm-hmm.
Four front desk people, six hygienists, and five assistants. So is there, in your practice, a managing partner? How does that all work? How is it coordinated in the office?
Some dental offices actually have a managing staff member that kind of manages the staff. We've never had that. Dr. Williams took care of a lot of that, and then as soon as I came in, and I had some different strengths than Dr. Williams did. He was very good on systems and organizing structure. He was great dealing with the staff, but after I'd been there a few years, noticed that I was better with the relationship side of dealing with, 17, 18 female staff members. So I kind of slowly grew into that role in terms of office management. So he and I kind of tag teamed in that role, and our different strengths, we would take care of different areas, and in order, to manage those those staff.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about things like bridge work and partial dentures and implants, and one day or same day crowns.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that before.
It's actually a pretty old technology, been around. Not 100% sure, probably in the 70s or 80s, a German company, Sirona, started the technology. We acquired it about maybe 12 years ago, let them work out some of the kinks in the first couple of generations. But instead of taking an impression and sending that impression off to a third-party lab in order to fabricate the crown, put a plastic temporary in that day, bring it back 2 weeks later, numb you up again to put the crown in, we actually bypass the impression stage and take digital pictures with a special intraoral camera that's attached to a computer system that builds a 3D model and then makes a 3D rendering of what the final crown would be. Hmm. The computer does a pretty good job, but then my dental skills and knowledge, we kind of edit it to make it just right and customize it for that patient. Then it sends that data over to the milling unit, which is right out in the hallway. We put in a special block of porcelain, and it cuts that crown in anywhere from 8 to 14 minutes. Sometimes we'll put that in an oven to fire it or glaze it. Sometimes we just hand polish it chairside, cement it right in, and totally negates the second appointment and being numbed again and the problems of a temporary, which can be numerous. Yeah.
Okay. We talked about you being the first dentist. We have had a number of MDs on here and talked about their practices. And one of the points of conversation in those podcasts, and it would be a good point of conversation here as well, is that sometimes a medical area is seen as a commodity, and that across all dentists, everything is the same. How do you differentiate what goes on in your practice so that you stand out?
I'd say first and foremost, myself, the other doctors, and the staff, we don't really look at dentistry as a commodity. Our primary focus is the relationship with the patient, and preferably not a short-term relationship, although we do pride ourselves on taking care of emergency patients, quickly getting them out of pain and building a short-term relationship. But our ultimate goal is to build a relationship that can last, for many, many years. Underneath that, it's still all about providing the highest quality dentistry, whether that's continuing education for us or training the staff a certain way. Or having it, right now, dentistry is changing so quickly. It's all about technology, so we don't jump on the technology bandwagon right when it comes out. But we've had digital radiography in our office for almost 20 years now. That allows us to take a higher quality image for diagnostic reasons, as well as reduce the radiation. The CEREC technology that we've had now. Again, that allows us to do the best possible, highest quality, state-of-the-art dentistry for the patients.
Okay. When we talk about a particular practice, whether it's in dentistry or medicine or whatever, somebody often talks about their doctor or their dentist and their relationship with. And we have a feature on each podcast called Sunday to Monday, and it has to do with what you might hear on a Sunday at church that you could then take into your work situation on the Monday and move forward with that. And what comes to mind in this circumstance is a verse. It's actually Psalms 54:4, and it says, "Behold, God is my helper." Tell us a little bit about how that psalm might relate to your leadership style and what you do in your organization, both with staff and with patients. God is my helper.
When I'm dealing with patients, you know, every patient is an individual person. Some offices kind of look at a patient as a mouth attached to a checkbook or right. a credit card. In our office, the relationship is the primary importance, and the numbers or financial aspect will kind of take care of itself if you take care of the patient. So where that verse comes into play is when you're meeting with a new patient for that new patient consultation exam, it's all about hearing their story. What is their dental history? We try to get into a little bit of their life story. We want to understand where they're coming from so that the delivery of our dental care is at their level or even a little bit underneath it. We try to take into account their family situation, their financial situation, all of those things so that we can tailor that treatment plan to their needs and wishes and their own circumstances. And I think having God as our helper when we do that allows us to build that relationship with taking care of them as a person, not as a tooth mm-hmm. or teeth that need to be fixed.
Okay. Good. So when you think about that, tell us the role your faith plays in your leadership.
With respect to patients, my faith is never far away. I remember a time in dental school one time where I was conversing with one of my patients in the clinic, and one of my faculty members came over and said, "Hey, Solberg, stop talking and get to work on that tooth. You know, the tooth is more important than the talking." And I never liked that then because I'm a relationship person at the core, and I always felt that I've got to build a relationship with the patient in order to build trust so that when it's time to go through treatment, we'll have that trust relationship. So now I still spend a lot of time, even in a hygiene check appointment, but especially new patients or even when they come in, I'm going to spend some time, how's your husband doing or how are the kids doing? I know you had some work issues, even down to the dog.
Right.
I try to know who that person is and communicate with them and not just work on teeth.
And that has to be sincere or it comes across as manipulation.
Right.
And then people react completely differently to that circumstance.
It's definitely sincere. And even to the point where sometimes my staff, when I come in and we're doing that conversation back and forth, sometimes my staff has to kind of tap me on the shoulder and say, "Okay, that's all great, but time to get moving," that kind of thing. So okay. I really do care about my patients and our staff. So
how do you develop trust with your staff? That's an important part of the practice as well, I'm sure.
Trust with staff, both for me and Dr. Williams and even Dr. Miller, an open door policy where, if you're having an issue with another staff member or even an issue with me, you're always welcome to bring me back in the office and we're going to have a conversation. There's not going to be any judgment. There's not going to be any hurt feelings. If you've got something going on, we're going to try to work through it. I'm going to try to understand that staff person's position or take on the issue. If they're bringing an issue about me, I'm going to take it as constructive and, not worry about being hurt and anything like that. So just having an open relationship where communication is the most important thing and we work through issues together as opposed to I'm the boss, you do what I say and just go down that road. We don't do those kinds
of things. All right, good. There's an organization called Health Grades. Health Grades Inc., and they do actually evaluations of dental practices and medical practices and so forth, and people can access them. And I want to give you a little bit of feedback that your practice has generated via this system. It's all good, or I wouldn't be talking about it, right? But there are really five dimensions to the evaluation. One of them is trustworthiness. One of them is helpfulness. One of them is the staff. In other words, customers, patients evaluating the staff. Scheduling, difficulty in scheduling. And then the likelihood of recommending Dr. Solberg for being somebody else's dentist. Well, you guys come out really well on this because they're rated on a 5-star basis. And on each of the dimensions, trustworthiness, helpfulness, staff, and scheduling, you score 4.5 out of 5 stars. Hmm. And on the likelihood of recommending you as a dentist, it turns out to be 4.6 out of 5 stars. So the whole thing seems to fit together in a very positive way, given what you're saying about your style and things that go on there. You also say that it's difficult not only helping the patients, but managing staff. Managing staff is a tough thing to do. And there's a quote from a businessman you'll recognize, Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. And he says that maybe his insight for help in that managing the staff, that nothing else can quite substitute for a few well-chosen, well-timed, sincere words of praise. They're absolutely free, and they're worth a fortune. Does that fit your experience?
That's probably one of the areas that I dropped the ball a little bit, and one of the areas that I should actually improve upon. My staff knows that we appreciate them, but I probably don't say it enough. Sometimes those words come out when there are issues and we're working through them. That's kind of a reminder for me, oh, I haven't made a whole lot of deposits here lately. But yeah, I mean, it's very important to do that. And we do it, you know, as often as I think of it, but I'm probably not the best at doing that on a regular basis.
And so you see that maybe everybody has room for improvement in some areas. You see that maybe as a room for improvement in your area?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For me, that's definitely true.
Okay. Well, that's very forthright and honest, and everybody's going to appreciate that because it's probably something that a lot of people don't think about. And if it becomes part of leadership style, according to Sam Walton, it becomes invaluable in the way that practices move forward. One of the things that we also have that we end a podcast on is a pearl of wisdom. And a pearl of wisdom is something that you might like to leave people with in terms of what can they do to really make impact in their organizations. And you have forwarded something that you'd like to leave.
Yeah, my job or my profession is a dentist. But my calling is something very different. Even though I was told my parents I was going to be a dentist in fifth grade, and I kind of thought that was the only
thing.
Is that
true?
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Even though that's kind of, I thought, what was going to be my primary focus and primary direction, God actually has called me to a whole different realm and a whole different area. And ultimately at one of the boot camps that I went to out in Colorado, you know, to fight for the hearts of others, no matter the cost, is what I consider my calling. And that can be done whether it's fighting for patients' hearts, not just worrying about teeth, whether it's fighting for the hearts of your staff when they're going through issues that aren't necessarily work-related, whether that's doing things here at Northland with youth group or you know, Log Rocks, any of those different things. Ultimately, that's the call on my life from God, is to fight for the hearts of others, no matter the cost. And sometimes the cost is there and it's high, and sometimes not as much. But that's what I think of each day when I get up. You know, what am I going to do to fight for someone else's heart today?
Okay. And when you say Northland, you're talking about Northland Church, and not everyone may recognize that, but you're talking about church service.
Correct.
In that regard.
Yes.
And this kind of relates to a business quote that you actually gave me, and it's from Howard Thurman, who is a philosopher and theologian and very well respected, his writings. And the quote is, "Don't ask for what the world needs. Find out what makes you come alive and go to that, because what the world needs is people who have come alive." That's related to your heart's focus.
It is. Yeah, that quote was in a book that I read back in 2004. And it's one that struck me very close to my heart then, and something that I try to remember and live by. I'm very passionate about dentistry, but I'm also very passionate about a lot of the other things that I do because they make my heart come alive. Okay. So I'm trying to live out that quote as much as possible.
Very good. I hate to say this, Kirk, but your time is up.
Okay.
Your 20 minutes. The gong has gone off. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
It was wonderful having you here today. Listeners can get in contact with Dr. Solberg with the email address, and let me just spell it for you, KirkSolberg at SmileArtists, SmileArtists.com. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom. or my website, chasewisdom.com. Today's leadership question, based upon my Chasing Wisdom book, is, do I take the time as a leader to listen to my heart? If you do, you'll be surprised at what happens to you. I'll see you next Wednesday, next Wisdom Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.